Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 382 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week we're going to get a little remixed 38 discussion today as we continue our coverage of the 38th Humana Festival of New American Plays, hosted by Actors Theatre of Louisville. So we're going to get into that discussion just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support. All right, guys, so this is John again from the IDS, and unfortunately, we had some audio issues on our Humana coverage that first I want to apologize to you, the listener, and then I want to apologize to our guests, but it couldn't be helped. It was one of those things, so I know it's not the greatest audio event the IDS has ever done, and I do apologize for that, but I felt there was some value still in some of the information, all of the information that we could pull out of it. So I tried to clean it up as best I could, audio-wise. And again, I apologize to our guests and to you, the listener, that such calamity had befallen us. So anyway, again, the IDS apologizes for the inconvenience, and we'll rock on. So here is the episode.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Alright, so I'm here with one of the playwrights involved in the Prentice Intern Showcase, which is this year called Remix 38. It's Justin Gritskis. All right, you give me a thumbs up, so that's good. So welcome, Justin. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So, tell me the pieces, the title of the pieces that you did, and then I'm going to get into the origins of it here.
Cool. So the two I did, one is called If Then, and the other is called War.
Now, the idea behind this whole project, right, was that it kind of an homage or an influence from those certain shows of the past 38 years of the manifest.
Yeah.
They, of course, weren't looking for direct copies or next chapters of, but just some sort of... So what were your plays? Did you guys have to fight them out, or did they say, this is the one you should use? Or?
Well, we tried not to all use the same play. They gave us, I think, 9 or 7, some big number of plays we had to all read. They gave us a list of ingredients for each play. We had to try to include 3 of them. Mm-hmm. And then there was a sort of wild card round where we could pick and choose from different lists of ingredients.
So how was that for you as your creative process?
Well, it was great. I mean, you know, it was made explicitly clear that we weren't supposed to just write a parody of Chuck Mee's play or something
right.
Because that would be awful. No one would see that. It was great. It was really used as a springboard. And we ended up straying pretty far away from the plays that we were given.
Which plays were you?
Jeffrey's Big Love was one of them. I I think I used Marisol at some point when we were there. And then, to be honest, the War of Attrition came from the mashup, so I forget where the ingredients came
right,
from.
Right, sure.
They were from all over.
So how did this overall process for the group work? Did you guys ever have a time, I mean, you met and then get wrote a little bit and then met again, or is it?
Yeah. Well, they flew us out here to meet the actors who we were going to write these things for. And then we sort of took the first stab at generating some material for them to play around with. And then we went away for a month and wrote four plays. And then we talked about them on the phone with the dramaturg, director, and we came back and we workshopped all the plays we wrote. And then from that workshop, we chose which ones we were all going to do. And we all talked about what the order was going to be, all of that. And then we came back for the first week of rehearsal. And then we disappeared, and then we came back to see it.
Cool. Yeah. So how was it coming back and seeing it?
Great. It was really nervous. I hadn't seen it at all beforehand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've been sending me iPhone videos of rehearsals.
which is great, right?
Which is why it's the perfect way to watch it. No, and then I came and saw it live, and it was really, really great.
So how was it working with the apprentices?
They're wonderful.
So what sort of trick did, not trick, but how did, like, sometimes they asked, in previous years they asked them to rap or they asked them to do non-traditional theater audition thing. Was there any sort of non-traditional sort of?
Oh, you mean for when we met them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did this thing where we all got in a circle and sort of introduced themselves to us each of them, composed a piece. So one of them did rap, actually. A guy who ended up in my play. He's not rapping.
Right.
But he was great. Some of them just told a story about their lives. Some of them sang a song. But mostly it was just a way to get to know them.
Yeah.
So then we could go write plays.
So, if then, what was the biggest challenge for you in getting that play done?
It's a lot of levels going on in that play, right, in terms of
a lot of names.
There's a lot of names for the actors to remember. There are a lot of names for me to remember.
Yeah.
And we had a team that was devoted to keeping tabs on who the last one was released.
Right.
So something that would happen along the way, the process was that we'd been rehearsing the play one way, and then somebody would be released.
Oh wow!
And so we'd have to change. Play, you know, not change the play,
but put a different name.
No, not put a different name. The text of the play more or less stayed the same, but you know, somebody would get released, and all of a sudden, a moment would have changed because now he hasn't put his hand on her shoulder,
right.
He hasn't kissed her head, or something like that. So we would have to adjust the story we were telling to fit the facts,
right?
That were always changing.
And so, why? I mean, it's an important issue, but I mean, why Guantanamo Bay? What spoke to you about that?
I don't know. You know, it sort of never works that way for me. Sort of just you find that you're really upset by something. Write about it. I'll write about other things too.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not saying this is your mannered away.
No. Yeah. I mean, I would be happy if it was my mannered away. Yeah, I think it's a thing we don't like to think about a lot. It's a thing that we all know. We sort of undeniably know it. We read about it all the time. But we form this trick in our head where we just sort of shove it under the rug, where we just convince ourselves it's not part of our daily life.
Right.
And so I think maybe part of what I was going after in this play is showing a very quotidian slice of life, or a kind of thing that you're used to seeing in a play, that kind of drama, and then undercutting it with these facts that are just as true as our emotional lives or our own lives, but that we don't think about, and we don't show each other.
Right. Then we're not, like you're saying, not really affected by.
Yeah. Well, we don't really know how to be affected by.
Well,
or we do, and we're just afraid to let it affect us the way it affects us.
Right.
If we really did let it affect us the way it affects us. lot angrier and right. demanding things from our government. All
the time, right.
Which is possible. But it's, I don't know that it's hard, but it certainly requires a change.
Right. Well, it make, requires people to make an effort beyond
right.
changing the channel.
Right. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So how has this process helped you grow as a writer?
Well, first time I've written for 17 people, which is amazing. I don't think I ever would have written a play like War of Attrition if I didn't know 17 actors. I don't think I would have had the guts to write a silent play with people who couldn't do it. So that was really special for me. And also, you know, most of the time you write a play and it sits in your drawer and you wait for somebody to produce it. And this was a case where they came here in October and now the play's happening in April.
Right. You
know, I wrote the play in October. So that kind of turned out really well.
So how did you come across War of Attrition? Let's talk about it. I loved it.
Okay.
It was, you know, it was a nice of the evening. It was sort of that one like slate changing, clean.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah. You know.
But talk about writing basically a play with no words. I mean, how did that?
I wrote a first draft of it that had words.
Right.
And it was really goofy, sort of Monty Python. And then. I had another playwright read it, and she said, why are there any words? Because I had described the play to her before I wrote it. No, this isn't the play you described. the play you described was exactly what the play should be.
Right.
Yeah. And so then I just wrote the play that I actually described.
That's, yeah, I really, really, the musket loading.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, they did that really well. Yeah.
So, how did they? I guess who overall sort of did you guys set the order like this will go first and this or that, or did it like you see the pieces and then sort of go yeah, put together collectively as a group like yeah that really should go after this one.
Yeah, I think we tried out a bunch of different orders before we finally settled on the one that we have, and I think that came just from being what where people's energy was. None of these plays are light or
right.
easy to just move through.
Right, right.
So you got to really structure a night where one play is a refresher from the one. Yeah.
So, other than your own,
yes.
Which other pieces? I mean,
oh, I like them all.
I know. We'll start that with the real.
You mean in remix?
In remix. We'll give you the blanket that yes, you like them all. Is there one that you went, I wouldn't have thought of that, or I wouldn't...
Well, I wouldn't have thought of any of it. You know, I think what Idris did with Is That What I Look Like is amazing and bubbly and so fun and shows off the actors, you know, I never would have thought to. And it's a thing that they'll have to deal with, you know, forever. Which is very fast,
right?
I think Finger Play really surprised me. Finally saw it yesterday and today. I didn't realize how funny that play was. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Right.
I didn't realize people would gasp when they.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People around me jumped.
Yeah, people jumped. People went crazy. And it was amazing. It's totally electric to watch it. And yeah, I can't say enough about every show you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think is great. And there was a time when that wasn't going to be the first show of the night, you know, seeing it.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing. It just preps the space for
it sets everything else up because
yeah, right.
All the elements they talk about
right
are in every other
right piece. Right.
So what's next for you?
Well, I'm working on a dramaturg and a play that's going up signature and written by Celine Song and directed by Sam Pepper, and that play is called Family. And then I just finished writing a new play myself. Name of which
redacted
on radio. Yeah, so I'm in the middle of editing that, and yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Alright, so that's it for the remix edition. Remix version of remix, the discussion of Remix 38. And so next week is going to be it. It's going to be the conclusion of our Humana Festival of New American Plays coverage, 38th annual. By the by, we're going to finish up with the playwrights who wrote the 10-minute plays on Gala Night that we saw. So next week, you're going to be the 10-minute playwright. We could drag that out. The 10-minute playwrights of the 10-minute plays of Humana Festival will be our final episode on this year's coverage. So if you want to be part of the Dumb Show and you want to share your thoughts on the Humana Festival of the of New American Plays or any kind of insight that you want to share with us, please do so by calling 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableds, @I, inexplicable, D, S. Follow the show's latest comings and goings and whatnot via our Twitter feed. So next week, we're going to talk 10-minute plays. So until next week, hey, I'll see you. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.